on to this audio or video, you'll know exactly who I'm talking to today, and it is Faye, who is host of Metalheads Podcast. She also works for Redefining Darkness PR, and on Twitter, you'll probably know her as the Poshbird on Twitter, which, so if you didn't listen, Faye did a podcast interview, Ask Me Anything, with Lindsay from Scotland the other day. And Faye, what was it? Someone just said you're posh on Twitter or something, was it?
No, it's not. And he'll laugh at this. It's my best friend Steve on Twitter at Rages and Age. He did it one day and he called me posh, and it just caught on. And he's made it his life's mission for everyone to call me posh.
Do you not think you're posh?
I don't sound posh.
I
I
don't.
don't. I'm like, I'm gonna talk like this so I don't sound posh. No,
Where
I
are you
like.
from? London.
No, I'm from Suffolk. I actually talk like this, but
Oh,
I'm not
you are.
posh.
Okay.
I'm not posh, and I don't live a posh lifestyle. Like, I'm just
But right, I'm calling you out now.
gone
I
then.
was listening to an interview you did with is it Hope Space Wanderers?
Yeah.
Yeah. And very interesting lady, by the way. And you were
Yes.
talking, one of the questions you said was about festivals. Was it Gift or Curse? That's it. And to quote you exact, or not exactly, but it was, oh, I couldn't do a festival because I couldn't shower and I don't want to piss in a bucket.
That doesn't mean I'm posher. That just means I've got hygiene standards, right?
So you couldn't do 3 days at a festival?
Fuck that. Like,
No?
all those sweaty, drunk, muddy people. No, thank you.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Anyway, sorry. Thanks for joining.
Oh, thank you for having me.
No, I was listening to your interview with Lindsay, who is on This Day in Metal, I think, is it her channel? And it was great to hear to you talking. And my wife was actually listening to it at the same time, and she was laughing at some of the stuff that was going on, which
Oh,
is
that's
a
great.
compliment to you. Just
Awesome.
get into what we do and music wise and all that stuff. One thing I do want to talk about is you are very active on Twitter, at Death Metal Mum, I think is your handle. If you're not following Faye, do it already. You're very active on Twitter,
Yes.
writing music and about your not general life. I mean, you might say works, blah blah blah. The one thing that you're very vocal on is calling out these, I don't know what you call them, men who just drop you inappropriate photos into your mailbox or what, in your inbox on Twitter. How, well, first of all, that's disgusting, like unsolicited stuff. How do you deal with that?
Well, they'll normally get some kind of like bullshit response from me. Like, I call them out straight away. Like, that's just not normal. Like, if you find someone attractive or you want to like talk to someone, just start with hello. Like, what's wrong with that? Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Just talk to women like we're humans because we are humans. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I just, yeah. I block them generally. I'll give them like a mouthful and then I block them. And then if they continue to do it, I screenshot it and I like name
Yeah.
and shame.
Yeah.
But most of the time, like, it's just like block. Like, I'm not interested. Like, if you can't talk to me like a human, then.
Yeah, it's such a sad state of affairs. And do you know, it is like, put it this way, I've never heard anyone from a male side say, oh, this girl sent me a picture unsolicited. Like,
Right.
it just never happens. Like, I mean, you might be in a relationship and you're sending it between the two of you, but never an unsolicited coming from that. And it just, I mean, I feel sorry for you and the other women in the world who have to put up with that shit, because it's just not right, is it?
Unfortunately, I've got to that stage now where I just see it and I'm like, ugh, look, it doesn't
Yeah.
affect me anymore, which is kind of sad to be honest, but it's like, and I. That's not me thinking I'm like some amazing person that people want to have sex with. It's literally like, I think it's just people, they just like bulk send stuff and hope for some kind of response.
Right.
Like, it's just like, it's just like random strangers that you've never met. Like,
Yeah. I
It's
mean,
not
to
good.
be fair, you come across very well the way you handle it. You're very thick-skinned and quite resilient to it, from what I've seen. And fair play for calling people out as well. And you usually get a good response from people on supporting you and stuff as well. So it's, I mean, do you enjoy Twitter, or do you think it's a bit of a cesspit? I'm going you say, and I'll tell you where I sit at the moment.
For the most part, I do. I think the metal community over there is really great. I've made some like lifelong friends there. sorry. So for the most part, I would say yeah, I enjoy it. I mean, my block list is longer than like it's so long because I'm really good at filtering out stuff that I don't want to see. And that's the good thing about social media is you have those options. Like if you don't want to see something, you don't have to. so I've gotten really good at like weeding out people that I'm just not interested in the bollocks they're talking.
I pretty much stand on the same side as you. Like, you find, people in the metal community, they, put up albums that you might not have seen, or make recommendations, or, I've met loads of people in the flesh through Twitter, who I now consider good friends. Like, and we go to metal shows all the time, meet at festivals and things like that. So it's good for that. But yeah, I mean, like, you've got a lot of crap to wade through to get to something decent, to be honest. And that brings me to the other point on Twitter that, like, and I think you mentioned this when you were talking to Hope again, and you both had a good conversation around, being female and liking metal and having your opinion heard, not necessarily heard, but appreciated. I don't know if that, do you know what I'm trying to say? Does that
Like
bore you?
taken seriously, yeah.
Does that bore you?
Difficult. Like it's getting better. It's getting much better. So obviously you're seeing more like female metal musicians and they're being more present in the scene and that kind of helps things, but well, some of them don't get me started on that. But yeah, I think for the most part it's good. It's positive and a lot of people welcome it and they're like, oh cool, like we get taken seriously. But there is still that kind of, it's like I said on that podcast, there's that sort of energy of like, oh, you're so good. Like, well done you listening to metal, like that kind of thing. That annoys me. And I don't put up with that. Like I will, if someone talks to me like that, I'm like, I'm not a child. But for the most part, it's good. It's positive.
I mean, the world has evolved so much. Like, if you're talking like back to the Second World War, for example, or even the First World War onwards, like, we're talking about, women and getting the right to vote and going to work and stuff. But there's still this, what's the word, without being, there's still these people trapped in that mindset of women are in such and such a place and shouldn't have a place in such and here. And it's such a sad state of affairs, because I'll hold my hands up, right? I have never, if I've been on Twitter or social media or whatever, and I've ever seen someone recommend something, the first thing in my mind is not who the person is, like, male or female. It's just someone has recommended some music and they've said, for fans of Rotting Christ, whatever, brilliant, I've been. And the fact that people are still doing this, it's just so pathetic and sad. And again, I feel really sorry that you have to put up with this crap,
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I'm thick-skinned and I'm a very direct person. So you piss me off, you're gonna know about it. So I think that's also a characteristic I've noticed in a lot of female metalheads is like we don't give a shit. Like you can, like we'll tell you straight up if you're being disrespectful or we will absolutely call you out on that. And I think it's sad we have to be like that, but I mean, it's getting better. Like I said, it's not as frequent as it was even just 5 years ago. So we can hope it's going the right way.
I remember there was a significant call out on Twitter on such a person, and their gender being called into question at some point, and that just exploded. But I mean, like, you called it out, and I think Hope as well did, if I remember rightly. Yeah.
She called out first, and I was like,
Oh,
oh, I'm on that, because
yeah,
that's
yeah,
not
yeah.
okay. We're that I'm not having that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's talk music, shall we? Let's talk
Let's
about
do it.
a bit about you. And so, your favorite band of all time is?
Gojira.
Wow, awesome. When did you discover them?
Ooh.
What album was it, or was it a certain time period, whatever?
I think it was The Way of All Flesh I first heard. And I just fell in love. Absolutely fell in love. So that was back in, oh, I can't remember when that was released, like a long time ago now. And then they released my favorite album of all time, L'Enfant Sauvage. And I just, like, I knew
Oh,
that my favorite album ever made.
wow.
Yeah. And I just knew then, this is my band. Like, it's my comfort band. If I'm having a terrible day, I listen to them. If I'm having a great day, I listen to them. Amongst the other 10 million albums I have
Yeah,
to
of
listen to.
course.
And then I got to see them live 2 years ago, and I was in tears. I was like, it was like a spiritual experience. Like, I'm one of them nerds. I was in the mosh pit, like, oh. Like, it was amazing.
Was that on the Employed Serve supporting them tour?
Yeah,
Yeah, so
Alien
that's
Weaponry
right.
are banging. They were so good.
They came to Dublin, and Gojira just absolutely destroyed.
Oh.
It was just like everything was perfect. The production, the sound. Just I've never seen they're the tightest band I've ever seen live, hands down.
Absolutely. And just the atmosphere, like all the the visuals they had as well. Like, they have these big screens and like this music, and like it really sets the tone. Because a lot of bands, it's like you're just milling around and then they start playing, right? But it was just the whole room and the energy, and it was amazing.
Yeah. And
Really,
you
really.
live in Copenhagen, right?
I do.
So you saw him out there.
Yeah.
Do you get many gigs come through Copenhagen?
Yeah, we get loads. Yeah, we're starting to get much, like, a lot more. I went to, like, we had Frozen Soul and Creeping Death last week that I went to see. We get really big names. Cannibal Corpse were here. Ingested have played here. We had Revocation, Alluvial Goat Whore. I went to see that as well. Like, there's some really, it's starting to be a part of some really big tours now, which I love, because they often forget their mark. It's like they do London, they'll do Germany, they might do Norway, they might, but sometimes they just completely forget Scandinavia, and it's really sad. But no, we get some really great bands
What's the furthest you've travelled for a gig?
here. Probably to London. It's not that far away, but
Okay.
I went to Incineration Festival a couple of years ago,
Nice.
and I saw Emperor. I mean,
Oh, stop.
so good, and Hellripper for the first time, and that was a hell of a weekend. Like, I was traveling, I literally got off the plane, went to the festival, like, what a day. But then it was so worth it. But I haven't traveled that far, but it technically was a different country, so
So
yeah.
I've never seen Emperor before, and they're one of my favourite bands. And they're coming to Dublin for the first time ever on the 23rd of March. Got my ticket nice and early, like last year, and then we booked to go to Australia, and we're flying on the day of Emperor, and I'm having to miss it. So I'm
Oh no.
so unhappy. So I had to give my ticket to one of my friends who she's only just got into metal. So she's going to see Emperor before I do, which is even more of a kick in the teeth. I
Fuck.
just feel cursed. I'm never going to see them.
Wow.
I know.
Well, I'm not going to say what I was going to say then.
No, don't. But we will come back to Emperor in a bit because we're going to talk about black metal at some point. If you're
I'm
still
so
alive
sorry.
at
I'm so sorry.
that
It wasn't this bad earlier. It's typical, isn't it?
point. So Metalheads podcast then, which you but so when did you start it?
2022.
So just over a year and a half, maybe some other. Yeah, 20, just start 24 now. Okay, and why?
It started with like the metal community we have on Twitter, really, and there was just all these conversations going on, and I just thought, this is great. And then I saw like all these cool podcasts coming out of it, and there's one, like the Bangers guys, they do their thing with like They're like lads, 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 right? And
Yeah.
then wicked podcast, by the way. And then you've got people looking at the philosophy of metal and like history stuff. And I just thought, you know, I've got a background in psychology and then I love metal. And I just thought I'd like to combine those two things. And really, because metal is so, has such a sort of profound effect on people psychologically and physically. Sometimes it's something that's really, it sets its hooks in you and it doesn't let you go. And there's not many other musical genres like that. Like, you don't get that really intense, like, fan base of like jazz, do you know what I mean? Or like R&B. Like, they're fans, but there's not that sort of like, I'm gonna die if I don't listen to this music, that kind of thing. And I was just really interested in sort of talking to both fans of music, but also the people that make the music, about their experiences of metal, how it helps them, what effect it has on them, that kind of stuff. Get the more sort of human element of metal. It's specifically extreme metal.
There's no doubt about it that metal, see it and you hear it about from people, fans, musicians themselves, that music, metal music has gone through some dark times. Or I think when you mentioned physical there, like, you know, if you're in the gym and stuff, Jesus, I mean, the adrenaline you get from listening to some songs, you know, really pushes you. And the community is great. And I think you mentioned before about going to festivals, not going to festivals because there's, you know, drunk men and blah blah blah. Now, from my side, every time I've been to a festival, I've had nothing but a wonderful time. You know, and everyone's really helpful and stuff like that. I think, like you said, you know, it goes to that classic thing, like, why do you listen to this music when people just scream in your face? And it's that psychologically trying to get people to understand that, well, there is that, but is so much deeper than just people screaming at you from a stage.
Really is like, yeah, you might not be able to understand the lyrics, but you can look at them, you can like Google them, you know what I mean? Like, so sorry.
You okay?
Oh, Yeah, it's more of a like they're just expressing themselves and like the passion these people have, and it's just their form of it's their art, isn't it? And you have to appreciate that. And it's not for everyone, and I understand that. It is aggressive and it is loud and it is a very intense experience. But you know, I feel like you either love it or you hate it.
Yeah.
And I you know, and the people that love it like to the day they die.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, tattoos, like of their favorite bands, stuff like that. I mean, it's great that support. So, I mean, you, like I, don't get paid for any of this. We do it literally for just the love of listening to metal. What do you? And I'm not trying to say what do you get out of this and for the purpose of why you're doing a podcast, but what do you get out of doing this? What, you know, what pleases you most and what benefits do you get out from it for yourself?
I think, first of all, just getting to talk to like some of my favorite musicians. I mean, how often do you get to do that? Like,
Yeah.
and the connections you make, and just hearing their stories. And I think, well, it's definitely a hobby for me. It's like some people knit, some people like do gardening. Like, I like nerding about metal with people, you know? So I think for me, it's just like it's a way for me to like relax and like just shut off my brain and just talk about something that I love with other people who also love that thing, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I think that, like you said, this podcast, the metal podcast, sort of started. We can probably trace its roots back to That's Not Metal, which started, geez, 7, 8, 9+ years ago, maybe, I don't know. And then obviously that sort of hit a rocky patch, and then we have all this now, loads of podcasts, you know, out there on metal. And I think it's great because, like I said, I don't think any of us who are have a podcast about metal music are ever going to see a significant return where we can do this full time as much as we love to. But it's great that we have so many different platforms that people can dive into this and that. You know, like the Bangers and Mosh Lads, they love their death metal. You know, so you can get into their, you know, other people are more into, I was gonna say R&B then, but that's completely the wrong thing. But like tech metal for argument's sake, but other genres. And I think it's a really good side that there is so much passion in that we are all doing this. And what I love about it is there is no spitefulness between any of the channels or podcasts, which is testament to the scene like we were talking about.
Yeah, there's so much, we're all sharing each other's stuff and
Yeah.
talking about it and commenting and recommending it to other people. It's all love and rainbows and kittens.
Yeah, exactly. So who's the best per or not the best person, but the most interesting person you've interviewed, or the one who you found wow?
I mean, specifically on my podcast, I would say Brian Slagle.
I loved that one, by the way.
Thank you.
Except, right? I will say, when your final question of flavored condoms, I was like, is she gonna actually ask this? No.
I know.
And
Do you know what? In my head, I was like, this man's a legend. He's
yeah.
created the entire metal scene. Are you really going to ask him this? And then the other half, I was like, well, you've asked everyone else.
I
So, and he's a big boy. He can handle it, and he did very well.
He
So,
did. I think his response, I remember right, was something like, "I don't know because I'm not on the receiving end. You'd have to ask my girlfriend," or something like that. A real politician's answer.
very calm, and he smiled and he was laughing. When I first said it, he went.
Yeah, it was one of those like, I was on tenterhooks. Like, she's surely not going to ask it. Surely not.
Course,
But fair
course
play,
not.
yeah. And I liked Hope's response to that as well, was something like, it's better if you use whipped cream or something like that.
Yeah, well, yeah. If you're gonna put, I mean, how?
Look, this is, yeah, go
I mean, if you like sucking on what feels like a plastic bag, that's your thing. Fair enough. You go for it. It's not for everyone, and I'll leave it there.
Yes, we will leave it there very abruptly. But yeah, that was a great interview, Brian. And he seemed like, I loved his book. He the first one he read. I haven't read the second one, but like you said, he's a legend in the scene. And like, you know, like,
Absolutely. And he had some great stories that he shared with me, like about Metallica and the St. Angus snare and him questioning them and their artistic choice and stuff. It makes you realize how long he's been around and how influential he's actually been. And he's just this really humble guy. I ended that interview, I pressed stop recording and he was like, oh, thanks for that, but I have to go now. I've got lunch with my friend Kerry, and I was like,
oh no.
and I went, Kerry King, and he went, and he rolled his eyes, and he went, yeah, and I was like,
Oh.
and I was trying to be cool. I was like, oh, sounds great. Have a nice day. And in my head, I was like, oh my God, that's so cool.
Insane. That is insane. The other thing that I picked up on, you're okay, that I picked up on the Ask Me Anything with Lindsay was the black metal question. Sorry, I don't know if it was a question about black metal, or maybe it was about which subgenre card. I think it was what subgenre card you get into. I think that was it. And you said, and I'm again paraphrasing, something like, I can't get on with black metal because the production or something around that. And my ears went, oh, Faye, that's not very nice. So was that pretty much what you said, wasn't it?
I said doom to start with because
Okay.
doom metal is so slow. My brain, it switches off. I need variation. I need some
Yeah.
interesting things happening, right? So for me, doom, I can't get into it. And then I said really old school black metal with that real. The songs, they just have the same tempo, the same riffs, like this, it's just the same all the way through. And that kind of production that sounds like they've recorded it in a wheelie bin outside. Do you know what I mean? I
Yeah.
just, for me, it's not engaging my brain.
Okay. Good answer. So, like I said, that pricked my ears up, and I was like, right, I'm gonna have to have this out with Faye. And here we are now. So, one of the reasons that is in the background is because I asked Faye to listen to a black metal album, and I decided on Satyricon's Now Diabolical, which was one of their earlier albums, and they're a huge part of the Norwegian second wave of black metal scene, one of my favorite bands. And I thought, as an entry point into black metal, obviously you've listened to black metal before, but to try and sort of an album to get its hooks on to you, I thought this might be a good entry point. I think, well, actually, I'll let you talk. So, what was your feeling coming into it when you first pressed play?
So obviously I've heard about them before. I hadn't listened to their stuff, and I knew that they weren't. I know enough about them to know that they're not that sort of grainy old school sound. So I was, I'm open-minded about stuff. And I'll tell you, I really enjoyed it. because it had a lot of variation, a lot of like really great. Like I was on the train listening to it. And it was really kind of atmospheric, but just like, yeah, I was really enjoying it, and I listened to the whole thing.
I think, like you said there, this is certainly one of their earlier albums, but the production on this album, I think, was why I picked it for you, because it doesn't have that grainy. It's not polished either, like
No.
their last stuff, but it still has that nice blend of the black metal feel to it. But also, it's quite a hooky album in parts, like some of the songs, like You've Got King, which is one of their big ones, Pentagram Burns, Now Diabolical. So I thought it was a good way to introduce you to a band that would potentially open other gateways to explore the black metal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed it. And like you said, the production, it's raw, but it's not like grainy and fuzzy. It's not super polished either. It's still got that sort of black metalness like to it. So I think that was a really good pick.
And would you now, off the back of that, would you go listen to their discography? Is that something, yeah?
Absolutely.
And other black metal bands, like, have you, so another one who's a really good band, I don't know if you've listened to them, you've obviously heard of them, is Enslaved. Have you listened to them much, or?
Not much, some of their stuff, but again, not much. I like death metal a little bit, so I listen to mostly death metal, but I have
Okay.
heard of them and I've listened to a few of their
Again, their earlier stuff was very black metal, and the production like was very raw, but as their discography progresses, they become very more progressive and again have some really expansive songs. So another band that potentially could get you into it. While we're on the black metal scene, you're obviously in Scandinavia. How long have you lived in Copenhagen now?
10 years.
10 years, okay. So I don't know whether before or now you've heard of the stories of black metal and everything that has gone on since basically Mayhem and the Norwegian black metal scene. Are you well versed on that, or do you not know much about it?
Not really. I know I see things and I've heard things, but like I don't know about it. I haven't like gone into it in any depth.
Okay, no, just because my next question is, I know you've called this out yourself, so it's not going to be offensive. You're a nerd, like when it comes to this sort of stuff. So it's really good. Now, I try to, it's an interesting story, but it's very bleak at times if you read about this era. But one of the questions that gets asked or is summoned a lot is, can you separate the art from the artist? And I'm keen to get your opinion on this. And I'm not gonna call out any bands specifically, because the list could go on. There's been some recent, there's been some in the past. But from your perspective, Faye, can you separate the art from the artist?
I personally can't,
Okay.
because no matter how talented they are a musician, no matter how amazing how much they've progressed the genre, whatever genre it might be, yes, they should have recognition for that as a musician. However, I do not want to financially support, listen to, promote, do anything to sort of support someone who has raped someone or has racism, like has done some stupid, like bullshit. And that's just my opinion. Like, I'm not one of them people that argues with people on the internet. Like, if you can separate the art from the artist, fair enough. Like, you do you. But I personally, I find it really difficult to do that. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I immediately puts me off because for me, music gives me a really good feeling. I'm a very emotional person, so if I'm listening to it thinking, oh, this dude's raped someone, it's not. I it immediately puts this black cloud over my experience of listening to their music. So yeah, I personally, I can't do that.
That's fair enough. No, I just it's a conversation I have with a lot of people, and the opinions do differ between people. I'm not going to name names of who's who, but it certainly does differ. And some people, would say like your answer, absolutely. They've done whatever, and it shouldn't be done. Others maybe come from the other side and say, well, look, they've done whatever they've done, they've gone into a correctional facility, prison, whatever, they've gone through the rehabilitation, or they've made an apology and they move on. Like you said, it's very much not personal taste, that's not the right word, but it's a very touchy subject, and unfortunately, it's one that's crept into the metal scene far too frequently recently. And the problem with Twitter at the moment as well is you're put in court straight away. If an allegation is made on social media, everyone jumps in, and you've had your day in court on Twitter before you've even gone to actual court itself. It's so dangerous these days with social media and stuff. Like someone could just post on Twitter and say, Joey lives on this street, and I know for a fact he's got images of children on his phone. And that mob mentality of before there's even proof, there's a lynching is a very scary world. And I think your kids are similar to my kids' ages, 5 and 7, or there's a 2 year gap between the two of them, is it?
Yeah, 3 and 6. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. And I fear for the society that they're going to be living in by the time they reach our ages, or not even our ages, like 18, and it's frightening, And the worst thing is, I think the scariest thing to me, I have a daughter and a son. I worry for my daughter the most because the world is just so fucked at the moment, and that's just more of a state. I don't know how you feel on that. I went off on a massive tangent then, but.
No, I agree with you. Like, I've got two boys, and I feel you about what you say about having a daughter, but I also worry as a boy mum because being a white man is not a good thing to be in this climate. And I have two white boys. And not the race has got much to do with it, but it also has a significant like impact. But yeah, just the whole, you can see it online, like men just trying to compliment someone. I mean, I'm not talking about unsolicited dick pic people, right? I'm talking about normal men
Yeah.
trying to compliment a woman, for example. There's such a fine line, and also like the online dating scene, for example, it's just become so like transactionary. It's like, let's have sex and that's it, because I can't figure out how to talk to you without causing you offense in some way. And I feel like that translates also, you can see it on the metal community on Twitter, like you say, like someone's allegedly done something, oh, they've done it.
Yeah.
They must have done that. They're a hideous person. We should cancel them immediately. You know? And regardless of whether they have done it or not, it's not fair for that person, or band or whatever. But yeah, obviously as a parent, we have to have those sort of thoughts about our future for our children, and
Yeah.
it is scary. It is.
And I 100% agree with you about comments of flattery, for example, where it is literally, like, you know, you could put a picture of yourself on Twitter, and I could say, wow, you look really great. And someone else can perceive that as, why are you trying to have sex with her? And you're like,
Yeah, exactly.
oh, and it's got to a stage now with my life where, like, if I'm out running and there's a lady on the pavement, I will make sure I go as far out as I can to ensure that I'm not, you know, invading her space or things like that. And, you know, well, even such things as saying, and this is ridiculous, but like saying to a friend when you're out, oh, you look really nice. Or, you know, you're conscious of that. Am I making an inappropriate sexual approach on someone? And that's what I mean, where society's gone. In when we were growing up, don't know about you, babe, but living in England, when I was a kid, you know, there was no phones, there's none of that. I didn't do anything inappropriate, but certainly it was not as scary to say stuff, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And I feel like when we were growing up, people had common sense as well. It's like,
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that because it'll upset them. Whereas nowadays, because of social media, everyone puts all their thoughts unfiltered online, and then there's just no. And then get angry and people react to it. I think we're missing that sort of awareness. And yeah, I can only see it getting worse,
Yeah,
unfortunately.
I agree.
Yeah.
Listen, let's not stop talking about that now. Let's just get on with a few bands. Right. What was your album of 2023?
Oh, it was Dissentient with Labyrinth.
Tech Death Band?
Prog Death.
Oh,
Canadian
Australia.
Prog Death.
Canadian. Nice. And so far this year, we're just the start of March. What's been your thoughts on the releases so far this year?
Ridiculous. Like every year, I say to myself, "Oh, next year won't be as mad as this year," and it is, and it's worse. I've already got a top 20, and it's March.
How the hell have you got that?
Oh, my spreadsheet's in sort of 1st of January. I set up a new spreadsheet that's called Album of the Year 24, and I've got 20 already. So, yeah.
Do you want to share a couple of them who so far?
Nope. Yeah, I do. So the new Exocrine album, just perfection. Like, I love them, and I've been waiting for that for so long. So when it came out finally, I almost wet myself with excitement. It was amazing. And then the new Job for a Cowboy, I mean, fuck, that's
Oh,
just,
yes.
they do things in a way that no other band does things, and then they redo their own things that were groundbreaking at the time, and then they just make them even better. Like, I don't know how they do it. I don't know what they eat for breakfast, but it's mad. Like,
Were you around? Sorry, I say when you were you around, but when Job for a Cowboy broke out and they were one of the first MySpace bands, I think.
I don't think so.
No,
I'm a
that.
I'm a I'm a quite a latecomer to the Job for a
Okay.
Cowboy fan club. Yeah.
Yeah, they. I think they were one of like the first MySpace bands that broke out. Like, donkeys. Now we're here. Anyway, sorry, that was a side note. Borknagar, do you enjoy that one?
I did. Everyone's talking about it, and I was like, oh, it's black metal. And I thought about you. You like popped into my head. Like, I was like, oh, I'll give it a shot. It was wicked. Really good. Really good.
And most anticipated album for this year, do you think? To put you on the spot.
The new Ingested.
Oh yeah.
Coming out 10 days before my birthday. Yeah.
When's your birthday?
15th of April.
Oh, nice. Lovely.
And then I'm seeing them and Fallujah live in Copenhagen in May.
Fallujah are brilliant. I love their last album. So good.
They're two of
Scott
my
is
favorite bands.
such a great guitarist, Scott.
He is. And when I saw that tour, I was like, please, please be a Denmark date. And I saw it, and it's at my favorite venue. I was like, oh my God. Yeah.
Would you try and chat to the guys?
Pardon?
Would you try and chat to the guys? Maybe,
Absolutely.
no, I mean like an interview beforehand, maybe or something like
Maybe there might be
So
something.
yeah.
Maybe.
Brilliant, brilliant.
I tell you what, trying to organize men is not an easy feat, trust me. But yeah.
For what men in bands for interviews? Yeah.
I mean, both as a PR person and on the other side as someone trying to interview them. But yeah, I'm hoping something will happen. Yes.
So we look forward to that then. And then final question. What festivals do you have on this year?
Damnation in November.
Sweet.
You're going to that as well, aren't you?
I'm a maybe.
You're going to that as well,
You
aren't you?
were hounding me about it on Instagram, but yeah, more I'm going to try. I'm like 70-30.
No. Yes or no?
I'm sitting on the fence. I'm asking the questions
Ouch.
here.
Sorry.
I'm about 70-30, yeah. It's a great lineup, to be fair.
Really good lineup. Yeah.
So you're doing that. Anyone's local close to home?
I had one at the start of the year. I went to the Copenhagen Death Metal Fest in January, with Onagang and Gorphilia and all these super amazing Danish death metal bands. But no, I'm a one day festival kind of person, as we have briefly covered.
As we well know.
As much as I would love to see like these massive lineups at like Bloodstock and Wacken and stuff, like I'm not sleeping in a tent. There's not enough money on this planet to make me sleep in a tent. It's just not happening. So yeah, that's it.
We did Bloodstock with by staying in the hotel, and I have to say it was a delightful experience.
I can imagine that.
So we got up in the morning, walked to a local cafe by the river and had breakfast and a couple of pints and then slowly made our way in. It was lovely.
That sounds nice. See, if I can have like a shower and a bed to sleep in, that'd be fine.
Yeah. Think about it anyway. But yeah, I may see you at Damnation anyway. Hope
No, you
so.
will see me.
Yeah, I fear this won't be the last time I hear about you trying to get me to go to Damnation. Yeah. Well, listen, Faye, it's been an absolute pleasure meeting you for the first time face to face. It's been wonderful chatting to you. Thank you for being so open as well. And
Thank you for having me.
thank you for listening to Black Metal for me.
Oh, you're welcome. And
Forever in my debt.
sorry, I'm so sick. The coughing, I know it's annoying. I'm so sorry.
That's not a problem at
Okay.
all. And I'm sure I will see you around on Twitter at some point.
Absolutely.
Until then, bye bye.
Bye.